All right. I did this yesterday. I'm 30 seconds ahead. I have 15 demos that I'm going to show. So as you can imagine, that's a lot of demos, right? So hello, welcome. I am Chris, and I'm going to be talking about, I think this is the only SharePoint session of the conference, which is, it's nice. It's nice. But I'm just going to talk about all these really cool, amazing features. Obviously, you know Project Server runs off of SharePoint. And if you're going to buy Project Server 2013, you also have to justify the fact that you got to go and purchase SharePoint 2013 as well. So these sets of slides really point out and highlight all the cool features that you're going to get with SharePoint 2013. And a lot of these things, I have two books I'm going to give out later. So I'm going to ask some random question. And somewhere I have a football around here. Throw the football, those of you that were in my session yesterday. And you catch that football, and if you answer the question right, then I'm going to give these books out. But chapter one has kind of the similar set of notion of all the neat features that you're going to get out of SharePoint. So with that, here we go. Like I said, I have so many slides, so I'm not going to focus so much on me. I'll just say I am from San Diego. So like I can literally drive home once everything's done. No long flights, no cold weather, no delayed flights or anything like that. I did have this book. That's the one that I have here. I'm going to give that one away. I am a SharePoint MVP, and if you're going to be in Las Vegas in a month, come say hi. I'll be there as well. Got a couple different sessions there. My background, I own a courseware company, and we write courseware for SharePoint. We're just now starting to get into Project Server, and I'm loving it. It's the best product version they've ever had of Project Server. I have done actual work. Like I said, I don't want to go too much into this because I have 15 demos and I want to make sure I get through all those. But I was a senior architect at eBay, so if you were ever at any of the SharePoint conferences, that was one of the highlights of an upgrade back from 2007 to 2010. But also down in San Diego, there's General Atomics and they do the Predator planes. So very top secret type of stuff, but in terms of SharePoint Project Server, they had multiple different instances of it running all over the place, and they wanted me to migrate them all into a single, beautiful, amazing single architecture and get everything migrated. We did. Everything works. It's beautiful. But not here about me. We're here to talk about all these neat, cool features for SharePoint 2013. So what is this session? It is not technical. Okay, I'm not going to go into talking about the code or any of the architecture of anything that's there. So this, I'm really IT pro, but it is a high level. I'm going to walk through about 15 different major features of SharePoint 2013, and I'm going to demo all of those features. So, whoops, our 2013 features. First one I'm going to talk about is the eDiscovery. And I'll tell you right now, I have a couple examples on here, and we talk about legal and especially at General Atomics, where it's all government-based stuff. I can't go tell you the flight plans for the testing of the jets or anything like that. But people that work there's a classification called ITAR. And it basically means that if you're not a U.S. person, if you don't have your visa, you don't have any of this stuff, that you are not allowed to see any of the content that is ITAR. In other words, exportable. Right? It can't be exported, type of encryption type of deal. So what General Atomics would like to do is, some cases they'd like to go and search for all this content across the entire SharePoint farm, or in Exchange as well, and be able to say, where is all the ITAR content? That way they bring it in, they take a snapshot of it, and then they can do auditing on it later to say, does it have all the proper headers and footers on it to tell people, hey, if you're not a U.S. citizen or a U.S. person, U.S. citizen and person is different, by the way, then you're not supposed to be looking at this, right? So very, very specific. So eDiscovery lets us do that. And the way it works is we create an eDiscovery case. That case then uses search. Search is a very pivotal part, and it's also one of the top features we'll see in a second. But we can create these cases. We say we want to do a query. It searches for that content all across our index content, whether it's the file share, whether it's in SharePoint, whether it's in Exchange. Unfortunately, when we say Exchange, it means Exchange 2013. It doesn't mean any of the previous stuff. And that's mainly because of the OAuth, right? When we talk about being able to talk back and forth and impersonate another user, we have to do that via OAuth. It's not doing any type of Kerberos. It's the new 2013 platform stuff. In order for you to do the e-discovery, it means your search has to be running, and it also means that search has to have indexed all of the content of which you want to do e-discovery on. That means you have to put the file shares in as content sources. You have to set up the exchange part and make it know about it. And then any of the SharePoint web applications also have to be indexed. Only then will you actually be able to do the e-discovery aspects. That being said, that's a little quick screenshot, but we're going to jump over. We'll do a demo. Like I said, I have 15 different demos, so I'm going to try not to spend so much time on the slides. You'll be able to download these slides later. I don't really want to try and get in and do these demos. So like I said, I am the president founder of our SharePoint user group down in San Diego. So I'm going to do all of this off of our Sansbug site. It just happens that I've gone off and I've created some different sites. In this case, here's our eDiscovery Center. And it's real simple. We create a new case. And the case is simply a subweb. It's just a subsite off of the main eDiscovery. And so I already have an ITAR, so I'm not going to bother doing this. So I have an ITAR case. I'm going to go to that. Here we go. Yay. What I want to do is I want to create a discovery set. You'll notice I've already done this. So I'm going to go ahead and look at this ITAR target set. And we'll see that I've already preset up some sources. And I have as soon as this little dialog disappears, I have an Exchange mailbox, I have SharePoint, and I have a file share. Those are the places where I'm telling it I want it to go search for ITAR-related documents. And as you can see, it'll actually do a search, and it tells me here's the total 15 items that it found that had the word ITAR in it. Now, when we talk about doing the filters and the searching, it's all using SharePoint search. If you're familiar with search, it's the exact same query strings that you can do in just more advanced complex queries can also be passed into here, so you can get a lot more fancy with how you want to do your discovery. Now, I will tell you that this eDiscovery is V1. Okay, this is the first version of it. I do a lot on the MSDN forums, and I know a lot of people, they really, really want to get this working. One of the instances, you can only put one mailbox at a time in here. So imagine if you have 15,000 users and you want to do e-discovery across all of them. It's going to be painful. So you have to add all 15,000. Oh, and there's no way to script it either. Yeah. So it's a V1. It does work in terms of if you really want to do targeted e-discovery on a particular set of data, great. Right? If it's not a large set of things. Right? There's a lot of other features that go into this, but as terms of, we'll just say, exporting the data, there's the ability to go and say, hey, I want to go, based on that query and that set of data that I put in there, export everything. And basically, you'll take a snapshot. Or we could do things like an in-place hold. If it's in SharePoint, what would happen is it says, oh, you know what, I'll continue to let them edit, but if they edit, it's going to make a copy of it and put it into a hidden list somewhere so that they're able to continue to work, yet you still have that snapshot on the eDiscovery side. Okay. So again, that's the eDiscovery aspect of it. And I'll switch back over here. And you know, I have so many demos later on. I'll hopefully have some time for some questions. I could probably do one question every demo. So whoever gets their hands up first, yeah. I would say it is search, but it has some features layered on top. It's like it is itself a search application, right? So I would say it will search things and it takes snapshots of things. How about that? That's a good summary, I'd say. Next thing is site mailboxes. Yay, this is actually pretty cool. I could go into SharePoint, create a team site, and then create a mailbox for that team site. Okay, and it's not like going in and saying, for a document library, saying set up an incoming email. This is for the site. All right, so I've got that set up. Again, it requires Exchange 2013. Okay, so here, they're giving you all these dependencies, right? How many of you are ready to upgrade to Exchange 2013? A few of you, right? Okay, well, that's nice. For the other 75%, it's like, oh, okay, I want Project Server, I need SharePoint, oh, and I got to upgrade Exchange too. Okay, so you got a lot of work there to do. So it's going to take a while. We're getting close to everybody getting there. So this is neat. So we'll jump over. I do have this set up on our SansBug site. The way this works is I've already gone and activated the feature, but if you create a team site, you would go to your site settings, and you would go and say, let's manage the features, and you scroll down, and there's a thing called the site mailbox feature. If you activate that, which I've already done to save time, it's going to go and make a call off to Exchange, and it's going to create the email box for you in Exchange for the site. From that point on, you'll see it show up as an app, but really it's just a link. So if I click on the mailbox link, and any user that has access to the site, it's actually going to redirect me over to the Exchange mailbox for that site. And from there on out, we can create messages, and so then it's going to show up as coming from the site on behalf of you, right? Or if you want to email in, the site has an email box now. You didn't have to do anything. It just created it for you. Okay? Now, obviously, if you have 15,000 sites, and that's a lot of email boxes, so there has to be some governance around this. But it's neat. It's one of those things a lot of people get excited about, this and the ability to have a single mailbox for an actual site. All right, so that's that demo. It would be nice if it had a little go back to the site aspect of it. Next part is manage metadata navigation. Ooh, this is one of those things that everybody got really excited. I got really excited because SharePoint's never really had that notion of a what I call global nav, right? Where you want the nav to span across all your web apps and every site. You typically have to hire a consultant like myself or someone else. They write the web part, they put it on the top, update your master pages, and then they push it out to all your web apps. All right, now you got global nav. So originally what we thought, we were like, oh, this is going to be great because I can go point at MMS to a single term set, and I got global nav all the way across everything, right? How many of you know that doesn't work like that? Yeah, okay. Yeah, I was a little took back myself when I was like, oh, it doesn't span site collections. Oh, no. Okay. So, yes, but what this does, and the way they did it in terms of the implementation is pretty awesome. You go in, you create these managed metadata terms. The terms get tied to endpoints so that you get friendly URLs. So if you have some long page structure where in your pages library it goes down a few folders and you got a few pages and stuff, SEO doesn't really work that great off that type of thing. So especially when people are looking for the word pages, it just doesn't work. So what you can do is you actually just, you create it, and you say, no, I want this to be a friendly, and it just gives you a nice little path off of it to point to these items. So I'll just go do the demo real quick, and I think someone's about to ask me a question. Go ahead, ask me the question while I switch. Oh, yeah. I know. Yeah, I hear that one all the time because it's not like it's using a provider, right? A navigation provider, so there's no layering there. That's the other part where you go and do the global nav. People are like, but you take it to the next step after that, the global from a consultant, and they're like, but I don't want them to see everything. So then you end up doing the security part to it too, and then you have to cache it because you can't, you know, make those calls all the time. So the metadata navigation requires as well, the metadata navigation is not something you get just a basic team site. You actually have to go enable the publishing feature of the site collection. That way you can see the navigation link. Oops. So once you have this navigation link, you will see you have an extra option in here now in 2013 for the managed navigation. If you select it, what you'll see is that in your MMS provider, you'll be able to create a term set, and I've already kind of done that. There's the team navigation. If you go to the local version of the management tool, it'll show you your site collection and your team nav. And I've created a node in here called home. And when you click on home, what happens is now they've set it up so that the JavaScript that's on this page will notice that, oh, this is possibly on these tabs has some properties hidden in a property bag for that node. And so in this case, yeah, we want this for navigation. We checked whether we want it in the global or we want it in the current. And we could point it to a simple link somewhere. So maybe we could say, oh, send this off to Microsoft.com. Or it could be the SEO helpful version where we say it's a term-driven page with a friendly URL. If you select that, there's another tab that you would go to, and it would say, okay, which page is this pointing to, or what do you want to tie to it? And there's your friendly URL. So that if you go to /home, it could be pointing off to somewhere way down in some directory, but at least people, when they go to it, it's friendly, and they see it, and SEO is going to pick it up when it's doing the indexing and say, oh, that's /home, even though behind the scenes it's somewhere else. Okay. So we got home in there, whatever, that's fine. I got one item. So let me go back here. I say manage navigation. I say I select the particular item I want. I hit OK. And I don't get my navigation. Oh, lovely. You'll find in some cases you get caching going on. Oh, I don't have time to go mess with that. So, but it does work, I promise. I heard one question on navigation. I'll give you one more question if anybody wants to. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, so this goes back and says, oh, because of the site collection level, inside the site collection, you're not going to have that overlap and the collision. But yeah, if you start to think about it in terms of doing something where it spans all the global and you have that /home, where does it go? What is it going to do? You're probably not going to have it with the home, but maybe later on you'll get a little bit lower somewhere, and you may start to have those collisions. So then you're going to have to think of something different, some other different approach added to it. Yeah. Good question. So next is my favorite. I almost went to Oslo, Norway. Almost. Very nice people. Very smart. Oh, my goodness. So Oslo is where Fast Search came from. And so I know the architect, I know the guy who wrote most of the code for Search. Very nice guy. Call him KJ because I can never pronounce his name in in the Nordish language. But this by far is my favorite feature. I mean, it's just amazing the way they have designed this thing. Going off, indexing, whatever you want, the new abilities for you to have multiple layers of a schema so that people can decide later on at a site collection or a site level to override your settings, pretty awesome. The ability to, when we go and look at the search results, and just to customize it and say that that's an image result, show the image and the results mixed in with everything else that's possibly in there, display templates, amazing. This, we could talk 5 days, and I do. I have 2 5-day courses that cover just search, right, to teach you everything that's there. The architecture itself is super scalable, okay, so we can go and push this out. It used to be, for those of you that were in search, you'd have a single admin box. And that's all you could have. You only have one. If the admin box went down, yeah, it's not good. Okay. And the same thing happened in Fast and in SharePoint, right, in 2010. Now in 2013, everything's fully redundant, so we could go fire off the roles and put them on multiple servers and that type of thing. The only thing you can't do is you can't do any of the configuration of search from the UI anymore. Everything has to be PowerShell, right? Everything's PowerShell with this. One of the cool, neat web parts that they gave is this content search web part. Anything that's indexed inside of SharePoint, you can go use this web part, do a really advanced query, and tell it to show those results across the entire farm. Okay, so remember the older web part only worked inside of a site collection? This one spans everything. And they made that available on O365 now. They had to re-architect a few things, but it took them a little while to get it in there. But now it's in there. So that, I got a little screenshot for there. But we're going to go over and check out the demo. And I had mentioned, I said, I'm going to be at the SharePoint conference, and I'm going to be presenting a couple of sessions. And one of them is going to be on search, and I've integrated Yammer on-prem into search. I wrote a BCS connector, and I integrate all my enterprise Yammer content into an on-prem SharePoint. That's going to be my session. But then I layered Connect on top of it. So you'll be able to see and speak to your computer, tell it to do a search through Yammer, and you'll be able to navigate and select things. That's going to be my presentation. If you're in Vegas, come watch that one. So I'll just show you an example of this. I go in. This is SansBug. If I go in there, I can do results, look for Yammer. And what we intend to do over the years, we'll take the presentations from the SharePoint conferences, we'll put it in there, we lock it down, the members can go log on, see their PowerPoints. So one of the neat things here, I don't have Office Web Apps integrated in here, so you're not going to see the nice little preview. But you see that as I highlight down each of the results, you see that pop-out, the call-out that is displayed. Everything that you see, every result that's here can be fully customized. That pop-out, the call-out, can be customized. If you want to add your own links in here at the bottom, fully customizable. Whatever you want to do, you can do here. If you want to go over and add new refiners, you can add refiners on the left-hand side. Okay, everything is customizable, which is pretty amazing. Now, you'll see here Yammer, you're just seeing some PowerPoints, but if I do something a little more fancy, you're going to see, you know what, let's just do this guy, jump to the end. How many of you use Yammer right now? A few of you. You'll notice here, there we go, we found some of the results. Those are Yammer enterprise messages that have been indexed. Now, the current version I have installed here doesn't show you the text inside the body or anything, but if I click on these messages, it'll send me over to Yammer. But the idea is that the conversations are going on over there, but I'm able to go and search for them in SharePoint. Pretty neat, right? So search is one of my favorite topics. One question on search? Yeah? Yes. What happens if you click on one of these results, if it's a SharePoint-based result? Well, let's see, I take that back. There's an ID for every result. If you click on it, it records the fact you clicked on that. But also at the same time on the SharePoint side, if it's a SharePoint thing, if you're ranking docs, if you turn on the ranking feature, the rating, and the people like it or they do 5 stars, that data is also calculated into the actual search algorithm. So those things that people are liking and rating higher move up. And so you start to see that over time, you'll see it. Not really. Not really. Yeah, 2013, absolutely. But you can make it do it, but it's a lot of work. Yeah. Good question. I love search. Maybe one more question on search, if anybody has one. No? Okay. You gotta be fast. All right, so moving on. Mobile device support. Ooh, yeah. Previous 2010, 2007, oof. You know, you go look at a site or a list on this guy, it didn't look that great, right? But now, when we go and we look at a site on a mobile device, whether it's an iPad or a Surface or whatever it might be, it actually looks really good. So some of the things they've done in SharePoint 2013 is the ability they've given us as kind of developers, people that are designing these sites, to say, well, I want to specifically target a set of devices. And so I can say, I'm targeting this phone, and therefore, because it's this phone, I want this master page to be called, which you can then rip apart out any things that this phone doesn't support. Okay? So that's what we call device channels, device panels. So that we'll switch over, and I'll show you that real quick. So again, on our SansBug site, we go down to settings. Here in the look and the feel area, there is a device channels. And clicking on device channels, you'll see that I've added in here, I've got Android, BlackBerry, Windows Phone. And when we look at this particular item, which actually, we don't want to do that. If we go, once we've defined those, if we go to master page, you'll see once we've defined the device channels, I can now say the Android device channel should get the Android master page. The BlackBerry device channel will get the BlackBerry master page, right? And then when you go to the site, that's you're going to see, hello, Android user. Hello, BlackBerry user, right? Because it picks it up in the actual, for those of you that are somewhat technical, the device channel itself, if we say new, the agent string and the HTTP request, it always passes the device name. So you always see that in the HTTP, and that's what you end up putting in the device inclusion rules. Now, I'm going to switch back over here. This is all nice and wonderful, but responsive design. Those two are completely separate. I mean, this really has nothing to do with responsive design. Responsive design is the notion of no matter what, you can have the same master page, no matter what device you come in on, it knows how to manipulate. You make the size smaller, you make it bigger. SharePoint doesn't really have responsive design. If you want that, you got to go hire a responsive design consultant company to help you out with the whole thing. You can try to layer some of the device channel, device panel stuff around that, but normally if you do responsive design, you're probably not going to touch this. All right. Questions? Yeah, I'm good there. So when we get into Office Web Apps, that is when I'm doing a shredded storage session with Bill Bear. That the way that works is the Office doc is turned into a JSON array, and that whole thing on that side, the HTML5 and everything that's happening, knows how to render that JSON.
And is that through SharePoint?
It's through Office Web Apps that's doing it. Yeah, and then whatever the page is on the other side just sees the JavaScript code and the JSON and does its rendering. It's very slick. One guy wrote that. One Russian guy wrote that, which is amazing to me. Yeah. Moving on. Social. Some of you have Yammer. Some of you are like, hey, what's the difference? I got SharePoint. I got Yammer. Well, I tend to like the out-of-the-box social aspects of it. You go in, you can create a site, you can follow people, you have news feed on every team site, and everything shows up in this feed. You can like things, you can mention people, you can put hashtags in there that tie back to MMS. So later, if you want to search on any of the content, yay, you can, and it's very efficient. All of it gets indexed, right? So the whole notion of doing social is that you're not sending out these emails all the time and having the discussions there. Because what happens is if you leave the company and, you know, you got personal stuff in your inbox, right? And the next person that comes along, how many times have you ever got the last person's inbox? Never. HR would get mad, right? It's not good. The company gets sued, right? It doesn't happen. So any conversations you have like that are in Exchange and in email, they're gone when you leave. That's it. And that's the whole reason of socials. You don't want to have those types of discussions. Now, you're saying get rid of email? No. You still have conversations. You can still have alerts and things, notifications sent to you. That's not a discussion, right? So we talk about these things. We want to be able to search it for later on, for future posterity, have it in there. Great. Now, obviously, we know that Microsoft has bought Yammer, and things are moving along on that front. They're being very secretive about what's occurring with that aspect of things. But we'll start to see a lot more integration, for sure. Things like what I do with the indexing of BCS, right? That gets us closer to this utopia. There's just a little example there, but I'm going to do my demo. So on my team site, you'll notice that we have down on the bottom newsfeed. And every team site's going to have that at the bottom. And when you go in there, you say, I love SharePoint. Ooh. All right, so I haven't authenticated to my site stuff there. So it's okay, great, shows up on there. I can like this, I can reply to it. I say, That's awesome, but I think they love Project Server. So I like that as well. There's the nice little ellipsy thing here. A lot of people don't realize that if you see a conversation or something that's going on that kind of piques your interest, if you do that follow-up, it's going to create a task for you and just reminds you. A lot of people don't use that, but I think it's really helpful. So this is the news feed that's on this team site. And any other team site will have a news feed. If you go and you say, well, I want to follow this site, okay, you can do that. Click the follow up on the top. I could go, I don't see the library right now because I switched it over, but I could go follow libraries. So if I click on documents, it's going to take me over here. And up on the top, I'll be able to say, it's right there. Somewhere. I'm thinking of documents. Any of the documents that would show up in here, I click the ellipsis and I say I want to follow that document. So anytime someone modifies the document, yeah, I'm going to get notified about it. If I go to my site, I'm going to see that on my news feed that's here, anything that I'm following shows up. So here we go. Yay, it's actually already there. It's pretty fast. That's all distributed cache. How many of you love distributed cache? Yeah, you know what I'm talking about. Those of you who don't worry about it. Just be thankful you don't have to deal with it. What happens is caching is running, and it's picking up everything, and it's putting in memory, so that's why it runs so fast. You could have hundreds and thousands of news feed messages across all the sites, and having to query and hit all of them at the same time, you can't do that. That doesn't work like that. So this is all caching. This is all in memory. So this is actually pretty fast. But you'll see here on your My Site, you'll see that, hey, you're following stuff. So I could follow people, I could follow docs, I could follow the sites, I could follow hashtags, right? If people are hashing different things, so I could put a reply, pound SharePoint. Great. Okay. Alrighty then. How about we do it on my site? Yeah. There we go. So I do the pound SharePoint. Of course, it has to be all tied up to MMS. It takes a little while. It figures out and goes, oh, yeah. Okay, I got it. So now you can actually click on that, and it's going to take you over and show you any other tags, any items that have been tagged all across that's in the cache that have pound SharePoint on. So very similar notion. You go into Twitter. You go into Facebook. Facebook just recently added the hashtagging thing. So you go and you want to search on pound SharePoint, or that's all you want to see in the feed to see what people are talking about. There you go. And it's all internal to your company, or maybe you have an external facing site as well with your partners and you're tagging different things. I work with a biotech company in San Diego, and they create organisms, right? They create these little weird organisms for like oil and turning oil into all kinds of weird, interesting things. And they have names for all their organisms. So they call some Maggie. It's like all the Homer Simpson names and stuff. So there's like a Homer, there's a Maggie, so you can go in and they use it. They tag all their stuff, all their data, and then they come in here and they search for it and they find everything that's related to Maggie. Pretty awesome. Right? They're doing a really good job of leveraging the platform. Questions on the social? Yeah. Yeah, it's all about the DCS. If that thing is healthy and you've designed it and it's everything's set up properly, which can be tricky, right? It's all about that guy because it's got to go pick them all up and put them into that cache memory. Yeah. Yeah, that data it goes into a list on that site. So from that point on, any permissions, rules, just like anything else, apply. Absolutely. Two good questions. All right. Good. So switch back. Authentication. Oh, this new OAuth 2.0. I'm a dev person. I said it's not going to be technical, so I'm just going to say, hey, there's a new auth model. It makes all this wonderful Exchange integration and Office Web Apps integration possible. But it also allows us to go off and create apps. How many times have you heard the word apps this week? So from a dev standpoint, there's a lot of ways to create these apps. And I have a session tomorrow. If you're a dev person, you want to come to the session tomorrow, it's going to be very, very technical. But the guy who wrote the REST APIs for Project Server, Bill Avery, and I are going to be talking about a lot more in-depth than what you've seen in the sessions thus far. So if you're interested in that, you can show us up tomorrow. But from an end-user, executive standpoint, okay, there's all these consulting companies can go and write these apps, and you go get them, and they're most of them are free. Or you, yeah, there we go. We got some there. Or decide to download them. So we're going to switch over, and I'll just show you real quick how that whole process works. So we'll go back to our Sandspoke site. You go into your SharePoint. You say, okay, I want to add an app. And so you'll see there's a nice little link on the left-hand side that says SharePoint Store. All right, we click on that. I've reverse engineered this whole thing, so I have a lot of different blog posts on how this entire process works here. But you'll see these are all the possible apps that you can select. Some of them have really cute logos to them. If I select on a particular app, it just says, hey, free, add it. Yay, great. You click on add it. It's going to do a few different things. This requires you to actually have a Microsoft account. The reason why you have to have a Microsoft account is because it generates a license for you, and then that license file is sent back to SharePoint Farm, and every time you request to have the app added somewhere else, it's going to check your license. So it has to have an account tied back to it somehow, some way. So we say we want to trust it. Yay, and you got to be real careful when it says the trust part of it, but once I've selected it, we'll start to see it's going to download it. The poll app will be there. It's going to add the app. I'll click on it. Yay. All right. I'm not going to go too much into that. But apps are awesome. There's a bunch of Project Server apps that that people have written that you can go download. It does require you. It has to be in a PWA site, you know, otherwise it won't let you download the app and install it, obviously. But the app model is awesome. And it's a V1. Right, so there's a lot more things coming to help us. Questions on apps? Go for it. Tomorrow, 9 a.m. I have a slide on it. Yes, and you can come, and I will help you with that. Absolutely. Not the most intuitive process. Yes, a lot of steps involved. Okay, so then we have a client object model in REST. So if you have developers inside your organization, they want to write tools and things for SharePoint. Instead of going through the object model, instead of doing coding and putting the app on the server, now you just build the app, make the calls over to the REST endpoints. Great, wonderful. You can pull data down, kind of similar to what you've seen in a lot of the Project Server aspects. Love it. I'm a dev. It's wonderful. If you want more information about that, I'm going to skip this part because I told you I won't make it too technical. In terms of workflow, yes. Yes, yes, yes. If you were in my session yesterday, I said, whoa, the Project Server 2013, the way it integrates with the workflow engine, amazing. Probably the coolest thing I've seen technically. When we talk about the workflow engine that exists in SharePoint, they've moved it from the workflows being persisted inside of SharePoint to actually having a workflow server. The workflow manager has to be installed. And all those workflows get pushed over there and they're executed on a workflow server. But they all have access back using OAuth and REST to get back to your SharePoint environments and do stuff, right? So in terms of the workflows themselves, if you have older workflows, you migrate to 2013, they're still supported. The 2010 ones will still work moving forward, but ideally you're going to want to try to move over to the 2013 workflow engines. So I do have a nice little demo to show you here. SharePoint Designer. All right. So I have our Sandspoke site open. I've already clicked on the workflows thing. We go up to site workflow. Similar to the apps question, there is a whole process on the back end that has to be done to actually get that item to show up, SharePoint 2013 workflow. It's involved. So we say that, I go, okay, yes, test workflow, wonderful. We hit okay, and it's gonna go do some downloads, say what are all the possible actions that you can do. And that process is similar to Project Server. If you create the stages and the phases, it's downloading those, and then they all shows up amazing. I can't say more about that. One of the neat things that they gave us in terms of actions in 2013 is call HTTP web service. This is wonderful, right? Just wonderful. All of the REST stuff I was talking about, I can go in here, build an actual HTTP request, and send it over to a REST endpoint and get the JSON back, which means I can write a web service here that can make any call do anything to SharePoint and be running way somewhere else, right? It could be a remote O365. It could be my local one. It, as long as you have the auth part figured out, which is hard, but it's doable. You can do it. This means you can now make calls. End users can go create workflows that make calls off to anything that's exposed by the web, by HTTP. That's pretty powerful. But previously, they never let you leave SharePoint. Everything you did in a workflow existed and ran inside of the context of your site. Now you can leave and you can go other places. Right. Nice stuff. Questions about workflows? Yes. When you do the request, the response comes back, you pull out the data you want coming. You can't send, you can't go push the data into, right, to a workflow, but you can have the workflow call out to get data and come back. Yeah.
What are the big differences between the and
the UI? Yeah. The Nintex is all pretty, and you drag everything over. And that one's, they got cute icons, and the property window is really nice, you know. Trying to go to the property window for these guys in the hash table is kind of tough. All right, they're just pretty awesome. They've been doing this a long time. Yeah, I really like their stuff. All right, good questions. On we go. Office web apps, great. So it used to be Office web apps was a service application inside 2010. You installed it, you got it in there. Now it's its own separate server, okay? But don't let that deter you. If you had Fast Search, which a lot of my customers have Fast Search, we moved them to 2013. You don't use Fast Search in 2013. So we had extra servers sitting around. So you reallocate the Fast servers to be Office web apps. When we set up Office web apps, it is a separate server. It uses OAuth, right? It gets an access token. And so what happens is when you go into SharePoint, you click on a doc, it sends you over there. The doc itself, Office web apps makes a call back to SharePoint, gets the document. And like I said earlier in the question, it'll turn into a JSON array. And you're able to see the all of the contents of the Word doc or PowerPoint in the browser. Multi-editing capabilities, which Jared showed on in our keynote, people being able to open the same doc and edit it at the same time. Okay, now it's not as advanced as Google. All right, it's going to pop up and say someone just opened the doc, and it'll show there, and then it kind of disappears. Google will kind of keep it on there, and you'll see, oh, here's the constant editing that's going on. Now what happens is because it's broken in JSON arrays, people can edit different sections, and then the section gets locked. And everything's related to shredded storage, by the way. Each thing gets locked such that the person can't go edit the same section as someone else did until you do the refresh. And it goes, and when it makes the call to get the refresh, it's not getting the whole doc. It only gets the section that got updated. Okay, so it's maximizing the bandwidth between client, the browser, and Office. Both of them use this so that if you're making updates to a Word doc, only the changes that you make get sent back to the server and get saved. It's pretty awesome. Used to be back in the old days, it downloads the whole doc. Every time you save it, the whole doc is sent back. It doesn't do that anymore. So you're going to save a lot of bandwidth across the wire on the network if you implement the new Office web apps. So we'll go down. So a little bit of example. We'll just jump over here. I'll show you Office web apps. Most of you have probably seen a lot of this already. The interesting thing about Sansbook site, my OWA server is in my network. So I'm connected to my VPN, and it's going to work. But if I was to not be in my VPN, my OWA server would have to be exposed to the internet, right, in order to get down there. Architecturally, there's some interesting things you have to do there. So what I'm going to do instead is I have our a nice instance of my project online. You got 3 months free, which is pretty amazing, right? You got that 3 months. If I go in and I look up my doc library, I created a documents library here, right there. If I go and I say new document, if I have Office Web Apps integrated with my SharePoint, that's the UI I get. And it says, hey, you can create a new doc. You couldn't used to do that. It wouldn't let, you'd have to use Office client to create the new doc, upload it, and then start messing with it. 2013, you don't have to. You just say new doc, and it's going to actually create the shell for you. So we do the test. You're going to see it does a WAPI frame there. It's making a call off to the Office Web App server up in the cloud, and there we go. We have our doc. I can start typing stuff. Yay. If I save it again, it's broken this thing up into sections, so it's only going to save back the parts that I've actually modified, right? Saving the wire line. If I wanted to, I could open up in Word, but I'm not going to show that to you. I'm going to make sure we get all the other demos going. Going back to the site, we're going to see the document got created. It lives in my document library now. It saved it back, so there it is. If I wanted to open it again, I could. One of the neat things, if I click the ellipsis, if you have Office Web Apps integrated, you get the nice preview functionality. We all thought that was ooh-ah back in 2010, and now it's built in to 2013 now. Like I said, I didn't have it on a Sansbug site because I'd have to expose my OWA server, and I didn't want to do that. Questions about OWA? Going once, going twice, sold. All right. Embedded code. Ooh, those days when you went off and you said, oh, I want to put a video into my SharePoint page. You had to edit it with SharePoint Designer, put the code on there, and of course, then you're customizing the page, so you get that wonderful pop-up that says, you're about to customize this page. Most people just click OK without really knowing what they just did. All right. We don't like that. That needed to be changed, right? So we'll switch back over real quick. And on my team site, let's not do that guy. Go to Teams, and we'll simply say, let's edit this page. We'll go up into the Insert menu, and you'll see there's a new little thing there called Embed Code. If I click on Embed Code, what it's going to let me do is it's going to let me post JavaScript in there. I don't have to edit the page with SharePoint Designer. So it turns out I have one of my lab docs here, and I have some code. I'm just going to go copy that in there. And this would be something you go off to YouTube, and they show you that little JavaScript you want to embed, you just copy that. Or you put the URL to the video and it'll do that too. So I just put that in there, and there it goes. It actually shows me a preview of what's about to be put up there. I say, yeah, go insert it. And just like that, I now have a web page embedded in, or a video embedded in my site. Cool. And it didn't customize the page.
What's the difference between the script editor and web
form? Same thing. Same thing. Yeah. Exact same thing. Cool. All right. That was a real simple demo. Geolocation column. All right. We've got this nice, cool geolocation column. What this allows us to do is it's a custom field type. It's a new column type that you can add to a list, kind of. Those of you that know what I'm about to talk about. But what it'll do is when I edit the list item, it's going to pull from my local GPS chip or wherever I am, and it's going to pull my coordinates out, and it's going to say, okay, yep, I'll put those coordinates in there. Just think about this from a lot of the water district type of people. A lot of them run SharePoint here in Southern California and L.A. County. And what they'll do is they have these apps, and they go out and they take these pictures. And the picture itself, they have another app. It has a coded geolocation column, and so it'll just say from the camera, it'll have GPS in the camera, pulls it from the camera, puts it in there, and it has the location of the pipe that they were looking at. That's awesome. I mean, there's a lot of industries that take advantage of this. Some of you probably look at it and go, I don't know what I'm going to use that with, but there's a lot of them that do it. So, yes and no. Yes and no. So let's go check this out. You're going to like this. You guys are going to learn something really cool right now. So they were like, yeah, you got to do custom code with this. If you go out of the box and you go and say, yeah, let's create an app, and it's like a custom list. I'll just put my name in there just real quick. I create this Chris list, and I say, okay, I want to add a column. Well, you're gonna see that. You see that now, but cat's out of the bag. I go in here, and I'll look, and I'll be like, oh, I don't see a geolocation column there. So out of the box, when everything first came out, they go, oh, you have to have an IT admin run some PowerShell that would add that for you. I don't know why. I just never bothered to ask them. But so you're like, oh, well, that's a bummer. You know, I really want to use this. And actually, I already have a list. I'll come back around to how you can get it working here in a second. Actually, I already have a list. And it is location test. There we go. And you'll see here, it has this nice little geo icon. But if I go and say, let's do a new item. And it says in here, specify the location or use my location. So let's click on use my location. The browser is going to say Samsung.org wants to use your location. In other words, I want to access your GPS chip. All right, fine. Go for it. Yeah, I guess. No, that's Vegas.
Let's go there.
Yeah. All right. In a month. Obviously, my GPS chip is not working. Vegas. So I say save, and you can see there that the location's in there, right? But again, if I go and I try to add that, it's not there. Well, there's an app for that. I've rated every single app in the App Store, and this one, from the creativity standpoint, awesome. Just, it was exactly what apps were meant to do, is to supplement to the missing functionality or these weird quirks that we see where like we can't add a geolocation field. So Aviar geolocation utility, it does a CSOM call to add the geolocation column, and it just adds a nice little link up on the top in the ribbon. Alright, so yes and no. If you download that, install it, you can add it to your list. Easy. Provided you've set up the apps. All right, on we go. Just a couple more. Task management. Oh, so this comes all full back around the project server and all and everything. So 2010, you have tasks that are created on all the team sites all across the farm. Okay, you have project server possible. You got all these tasks in project server. Someone goes off and assigns you a task in a task list in some site somewhere, and you get an email. And you're like, oh, that's nice of them to give me a task. And you're like, okay, good, I gotta go do that. And you go, and most likely you go and you do the task, and you're like, okay, I got it done. And you probably deleted the email, and you don't remember where the task is across the 10,000 sites of which you have tasks all spread across. And you're like, okay, I don't know where it is, so whatever, but I did my work. Of course, there's some project manager sitting there going, he hasn't done the task yet. And you're like, no, I did it only like 5 days ago. Maybe there was other tasks dependent on the fact that you did that, right? So that was obviously a big problem. How do you know and find all the tasks you've been assigned across the entire SharePoint farm? It's tough in 2010. 2013, we now have the ability to do task management. They wanted me to rename it. It's actually in SharePoint land. We call it work management, but work management tends to have meaning in theory in project server land. So this is, I got a little demo here of task management. This works out of the box. There's not really a lot of crazy configuration stuff that you have to do. But the idea is when you go to your My site, you're going to have on the left-hand side at the bottom, there's this link called Tasks. So when I click on Tasks, there's actually some JavaScript, and I know it's real tough, and I'm not that great with zooming that tool on this laptop. It's, oh no, my goodness, so sorry. There we go. So on the left-hand side, on the bottom, TASM on my site, we click here, and there's a little JavaScript that you would have seen. It has a nice little icon in this part. It runs every 15 minutes. Okay, so every 15 minutes, it will do this post back to a WCF endpoint and searches using search to find all the tasks that you've been assigned. And what's going to happen is it has a hidden list in your my site. All those tasks will be locally queued up, and you'll be able to see all of them. This is any task that has been assigned to you across the entire SharePoint farm, project server. Any project, any task inside of a project in project server will show up here. And any if you choose to opt into Exchange, and you have Exchange tied together, Exchange 2013, it will show you the tasks you have in Exchange in here. You now have a single place you go on your My site to find every task that's been assigned to you. You finish them, done, great, wonderful. You don't have to worry about where they are. Pretty sweet. Questions?
So we're a custom task. So we have a custom my task kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
How hard is it going to be to integrate?
How do you want the integrate? Which direction are we talking integration? To yours or to here?
To both.
Ideally, there, if you have tasks that exist, we'll just take it from the standpoint, if you have tasks that exist outside of SharePoint, outside of Project Server, outside of Exchange, there is the ability to extend this such that when it makes the call, it will call some other external to put those tasks in there. You have to just make sure that it has the URL to where the person has to go. They clicked on it, takes you over there, and yay, and you go update the task in the source. That's not bad, right? Yeah, so it is possible, absolutely. Good question. This is a good feature, right? I'm excited about it. Yeah. I haven't set that up yet to see it, but Team Foundation is just based off SharePoint in a lot of cases, right? All the tasks end up showing up in the task list. If that's the case, it gets indexed, it's in there, they'll show up here. Yeah. Cool. So here's the part where I ask you, what cool feature out of all of that stuff, which one was the neatest? Which one are you so like, I'm going to go tell my IT executive, or I am the IT executive, and you're like, hey, this is the thing I want. I'm always curious about these types of stats. And, I think all of those features are pretty awesome, but obviously there's some that I think are a little bit cooler. You can tweet them to me, or you can, if you got a browser and you don't want to get, I don't know, I got a couple dollars, so if it's really going to cost you 75 cents, I can give you a dollar back. You know? but yeah, go ahead, check it out. Ooh, we got some votes for social in the workflow engine. All right. Okay. And while you're doing that, I got to think about some questions, because I'm pretty much done with my demos here. Oh, yeah, go. I can't tell you what's going to happen in V16. Obviously, the announcement for InfoPath is done. I don't know about if they're going to let it be supported one more time after it. I mean, obviously, there would be no enhancements made at all. In terms of whatever you have now, when you move forward, it's likely just going to work exactly the way you have it right now. Anything you want to move to 2013 workflow engine, there's going to be a process to get that to move over. Ooh, the task work management is winning. It's like Charlie Sheen. Beautiful. All right, so over here. So this is my little summary. Lots of cool features. So hopefully you got a really good idea now of the things you could go back and tell your bosses. This is why we need to upgrade. This One, you probably already figured out why you want Project Server. Now you gotta go sell the SharePoint part. There's a lot of cool features there. You should have enough leverage now to talk intelligently about this is why we need to do it. Okay. Obviously, focus on the ones that you think are most important. I think a lot of you think that work management is the coolest one. Right? So I have 15 more minutes, so I did pretty good there. If you have any questions at all about SharePoint, I'm open for that. And then I'm going to try to randomly think of something here to ask you guys. Yeah. Link can be integrated too. It's the same process. There's a series of commands that have to be done with the OAuth side of it, but it's Link 2013, obviously, to do that. And you'll see that presence aspect will start to show up when you highlight over a person. You'll see that all of those particular options will be available. Yeah. Yeah, that was one of the things the company that does the genes and the organisms, they had a big folder structure and everything was going in the folders, public folders, or not Exchange public folders, but network shares. And moving away from folder aspect and trying to tell them, explain to them, look, we can now tag this with Maggie and now you'll be able to find everything that has Maggie on it. Once they saw that benefit, they said, "Oh, we're signed up." But until they see that benefit in some meaningful way, it's really hard for them to get it to do that, to get them to tag the metadata. Now you can obviously go and add the metadata fields and make them required, but then they're gonna go, "Oh, I don't like SharePoint." Training. Yep, training. Yeah, we did 5 different sessions. And I like to go do really crazy advanced dev stuff, but every now and then I have to reset my mind thinking back to end user just to keep with the feelings that are going on. And doing the training, it hit me a lot of different things, like, oh my gosh, really, people have a tough time dealing with this. Yeah, so it's back to end user training. Yeah. All right, so I have a question. So I'm going to throw the football out. And then I'll ask you the question. All right, so I made a promise. Oh, you must be Denver guys, people. All right, yeah. So, whoever wants to pick up a football, I got this nice, wonderful book that I want to give away. It's going to be a fairly easy question. Fairly easy. Did I lose it? Oh, it's right there. Oh, see, he's got it. All right, you ready? All right. What is the default amount of time before your tasks will refresh on the My Site? What do I do? He got the 15 part right, huh? All right, we'll go with it. All right, so we'll give you this. I'll take my football back. All right, you got that. Good job. All right, let me think of the next thing here. All right, I got one. So I'm gonna try my Peyton Manning throw. what? Oh, okay, let me do the football part first. Omaha, Omaha. Oh! Denver got 8 points. all right. In order to do e-discovery, what has to be set up? Oh, man. A Okay. Wait. Oh my goodness. What was at the end? Okay. Oh, I think you were here for this. How does the news, when you go to the My site and you have news feed, how is that working? What was the little tool or the tech that I said was behind the scenes that has to be running? You remember? Don't remember. Let me, I gotta maybe give her another easy one. Oh man. OAuth? Okay, all right, I'll ask you about OAuth. There we go, the apps. Here we go. You can't make it work, so let's ask you a question on that. When you click on the app, it has to go somewhere, and you have to set something up in order for it to go to that place. Yeah. You have to. Oh, okay. I see where you went. I was thinking more in terms of the generic design of an app and setting up the DNS part of it. But you're thinking high trust app and getting that work. Tons of. Yeah, all right. And you're coming tomorrow at 9 o'clock? Yes. All right. So the fact you said you're coming tomorrow, there you go. All right. There you go. You're welcome. All right. Well, thank you guys very much. Be sure to fill in the session evals and give me high scores. And with that, I do have a few. You can find me on Twitter. And yes, that's Ducks. Those of you that went to the conference, Ducks and I and my wife opened for Bon Jovi at the SharePoint conference a while ago. And tomorrow night, or wait, is it? No, tonight, the attendee party, I'll be there having a good time, so come say hi. My wife will be there as well. And again, don't forget to fill out the survey, and I hope you enjoyed everything.